633-5833.
You're listening.
Estás escuchando
Vaughn Radio.
Lo que escuchas
to Vaughn Radio.
You're listening to the Drive Time Show with Kyle Miller.
Welcome back, friends, to the Drive Time Show. Yes, it is the third half hour. It's the final half hour for today's Drive Time Show here for the middle of the week. It is 7 o'clock. And I thank you for tuning in, for staying with us here, and dedicating this time to your English. You know, it's a wonderful world out there, and it's a weird world as well. Let's have a look at today's weird news.
Weird news.
Well, here's a weird story from China. This is a place I have been. Not the exact place here, but I've been to China, and I can say that there are some weird things that go on there. As far as I can tell. So a hotel, here's a story of a hotel that offers a room with a white, they call it a white tiger view, where you can sleep beside a tiger's den. And now this is in Jiangsu province, and they've created a tiger room where guests can spend the night in a bed beside the predator's enclosure, separated by a glass or a blast-proof glass barrier. So you got thick glass there, but on the other side you have a tiger. So you sleep right next to their den. Kind of a terrifying sight, but an interesting one. A massive white tiger, they say, can be seen prowling, right, walking around, moving around behind the transparent divider. Now, the hotel staff says the room was newly renovated and has not yet been used at the time of writing. They added that there are protective measures involved and the glass wall is made of explosion-proof material to guarantee the customer's safety. Now, the local culture and tourism bureau said the hotel is compliant with safety standards and regulations, but the tiger viewing room has not been opened yet. Now, the hotel is in, it's next to one of the largest zoos in eastern China, which is home to almost 20,000 wild animals. A local newspaper said that tigers can be alarmed by people close to the glass. So if you go and make a noise near the glass, it could excite the tiger. So some people worry. They say, yeah, it's great. The people are safe, but it's not good to the conditions of the tiger hasn't been considered. And you know, I would agree. You know, I don't think it's nice to have people banging on glass and making noise and distracting the tiger. So hopefully they have some conditions for renting that room. Now, the newspaper is owned by the Chinese Communist Party, and that newspaper called for checks to see if the panel was soundproof, which would ensure, or the wall was soundproof to ensure the well-being of the tiger. Guests at this hotel, the Nangtong City Hotel, can already book into a room with views of other animals. They have rooms where you can see giraffes, lions, and zebras. Well, there you go. Local media have suggested that the hotel is using this gimmick ahead of the Chinese New Year, which was the year of the tiger. So there you go. But yeah, we have the Chinese New Year, which was just, is it coming up or was it the other day? I forgot about that. But it's a big deal, of course, Chinese New Year. Anyway, we are going to move on and get into a challenge. One of my favorite parts of the show I'm talking about today is Interrogative Challenge.
Interrogative Challenge.
Interrogative Challenge. You know this part of the show. I'm going to give you answers. Yo las respuestas y tú las preguntas después. Okay? So I'll give you the answer. You ask me the question afterwards. Okay? Here we go. Number one. He quit smoking 2 months ago. When did he quit smoking? When did he quit smoking? I'm planning to see him next week. When are you planning to see him? Hey, when are you planning to see him? I'm waiting for Patricia. Who are you waiting for? Who are you waiting for? I'm waiting for Patricia. He's missed two classes this week. How many classes has he missed this week? Okay, present perfect. Yes, I've been to Rome. Have you ever been to Rome? ¿Has estado en Roma alguna vez? Have you ever been? Have you ever been to Rome? Have you ever been to Rome? I visited the south of Spain. Which part of Spain did you visit? Oh, well, the south, el sur. I visited the south of Spain. The train left the station at 2 o'clock. What time did the train leave the station?
2 o'clock.
It left the station. So what time did it leave? So notice we're using the auxiliary verb. The auxiliary verb carries the tense, and then we have the infinitive, okay? That was Jennifer's idea. Whose idea was that? Whose idea was that? That was Jennifer's idea. Whose idea was that? My mother was 29 years old when I was born. How old was your mother when you were born? Hey, how old was your mother when you were born? Oh, 29. She was 29 years old when I was born. I think my mother was actually a little, maybe 31 or so when I was born. There have been two meetings so far today. How many meetings have there been so far today? How many meetings have there been so far today? All right, last one, la última. Those cigarettes are Frank's. Whose cigarettes are those? So notice the way we use the word whose, the question word whose, de quién, but we put the direct object, the thing we're talking about, immediately after whose. All right, whose cigarettes are those? Dave's, right? Whose, Dave, whose cigarettes are those? Whose class is this? Whose program is this? It's ours. Whose telephone is this on the table? It's mine. It's Kyle's, okay? So we never say, whose is this phone? Que es un error que oigo muchísimo. Whose is this phone? No, whose phone is this? Whose class is this? Whose program is this? Okay? That's a common mistake. So good to master that one. Let's go ahead with our awesome adjective.
A. Amazing.
B.
Beautiful.
C.
Cheap.
D.
Dirty.
E.
Expensive.
F.
Friendly.
G.
Good.
H.
Happy.
I.
Interesting.
J.
Jealous.
Awesome adjectives.
Awesome adjective. Here we go. Bustling. ¿Cómo? Yeah, bustling. B-U-S-T-L-I-N-G. Bustling means full of activity. Busy. Con mucha gente, mucha movida, movimiento. If you go to the center of Madrid before Christmas, if you go to the Puerta del Sol, it's bustling. There's a lot of, and we also have an expression, hustle and bustle. Now, hustle is como ir con prisa. There's a lot of hustle and bustle going on. Hustle and bustle means something very, that would be an expression, just meaning very busy and people quickly moving in a determined way. Hustle and bustle. Bustling as an adjective, bustling, bustling, B-U-S-T-L-I-N-G, a place full of activity, a bustling little town. So it often implies also economic activity. So, like my hometown in Canada in the 70s was a real bustling community. There was a paper mill. Employment was good. People were shopping and, you know, full of business and things going on. It was a real bustling community. But since then, things have slowed and the population has dropped. And that's something very typical in North America. Well, in Spain, I think, as well. Small towns getting smaller, the loss of the downtown core. And in North America, it's also, here too, it's also facilitated by big box stores, los gran almacenes, no? So a medium-sized town or a larger town might get a big store, like a big Mercadona or a El Campo or whatever. And so people will go there. They can go to this one big center. Maybe they drive 20 minutes, but they go to this one big center and do all their shopping. And you can buy shoes there. You can buy, you know, random all your groceries, and you can buy other things. You can get your clothes dry cleaned. You can get a pair of shoes. You can buy a shirt, maybe. Different things like that. So as a result, the downtown core of smaller towns, the downtown core is the central, the casco viejo, el centro de la ciudad, bueno, del pueblo, digamos, the center of these towns are dying. Because people go to the bigger centers, to go to these big stores. And this especially happens in North America with Walmart. Walmart is a big, almost like an El Campo, but bigger and kind of with everything. Although El Campo has a lot of things, but it's like, they set up business and to the detriment, I would say, of a lot of smaller, small town businesses. So in my hometown, for example, we had a nice shoe shop and it finally closed. The guy retired, but it probably wasn't very profitable. Nobody took it over because it probably wasn't very profitable. And so people are willing to drive to the city to go to a bigger shop, probably with more selection, maybe even better prices. Not the same service, probably not the same service that you'd get from a guy who knows your name. But it's sort of the death of the downtown core. And that's very common in North America. Very common in the U.S., very common in Canada. And sometimes they call it Walmart syndrome. Because these Walmart big box stores are opening up. So people go there and they just buy everything. And so it leads to the failure of the mom and pop shop, which is kind of sad in a lot of ways. So you go to a lot of these towns, you'll go down Main Street in a street that was busy in the 70s, in the 60s, 70s, maybe in the 80s. And now they're full of empty shops or adapted shops as people try to find some way to make these spaces profitable. But these are spaces that were easily profitable a long time ago when there weren't so many, when there weren't these big stores selling everything and taking away customers from all these little focused shops. So it's kind of a sad thing and kind of a loss of the classic American culture of the downtown core. And when you have tourism, I think you can preserve that to a certain extent with restaurants. You bring in restaurants and things like that. But little towns can only have so many. They can only have so many restaurants, right? There's a limit to how many restaurants you can have or how many amenities or fancy cafes or things. And that's what I see in my hometown in Canada now. Often people come from out of town. They move in and they think, oh, they have this charming idea. They've retired from some other job and their dream is to set up a nice little cafe and have a nice job running a cafe or a small restaurant. And they have great intentions and they're passionate. And sometimes it works to a certain extent, but usually it doesn't. Restaurants are very difficult businesses to run. And especially if you go to a town that is simply charming and nice, but maybe you haven't done your homework. Maybe you haven't studied the market extensively enough to be confident that it will, that the town can support that business. So towns that were once bustling, bustling, are now often suffering a little bit. But who knows? Hopefully there'll be some return to that. I don't know. But that's today's awesome adjective, bustling. Bustling.
It's a strange world we live in, ladies and gentlemen. A world where knowledge is power. A world where we strive to know as much as we can. Did you know that it's impossible to sneeze with your eyes open? Or that a shark can detect one part of blood in 100 million parts of water? Today's fact might not turn you into a genius, but you just might find it interesting.
And that's a fact.
And that's a fact today. An interesting fact for you. Fun, I don't know. Maybe a scary fact. That apparently there is a nuclear bomb lost somewhere off the coast of Georgia in the United States. Now, this goes back to 1958 when an Air Force jet crashed into a bomber carrying a 7,000-pound nuclear bomb. Now, the pilot was worried that the bomb might come loose from the damaged plane and dropped it into the water off of Savannah, Georgia, near the Wausau Sound, particular area in the ocean. Now, the Navy searched for the bomb for months, but they never found it. So the Air Force and the former pilot of the plane, the bomb contained any plutonium. Apparently, testimony from the Secretary of Defense indicated that the bomb was a complete weapon with a nuclear capsule containing both uranium and plutonium. Now, the Air Force does not say if that bomb is still intact. They say the risk of heavy metals spreading is low, and if left undisturbed, the bomb should pose no hazard. It should. Well, let's hope we never find out the hard way about that one, about a bomb off the shore of Georgia in the eastern, southeastern United States. All right. Now, we have a bunch of questions that came in from listeners, and I like doing this section. I want to make sure we have time for this today. So let's get into your questions with today's By Request.
By Request. Inglés a la carta.
By Request. Yes, Inglés a la carta. It is that time of the show where I answer your questions that you send in. And the best way to reach me is through my free Facebook group. It's called English with Kyle. English with Kyle on Facebook. Send me your questions. We do have the January question thread open. Question area is open. And Jaime wrote in and said, "Hi, Kyle. It would be great if you could explain the difference between the following expressions, or at least how to use them if they are if they're interchangeable. In terms of, when it comes to, and the suffix wise." Well, wise is kind of like in términos de, at the end of a word, like time-wise, we're doing okay. In términos de tiempo, vamos bastante bien. Time-wise, we're doing well. Price-wise, it's a little bit, price-wise, it's not the best option. So we're looking, imagine we're looking at different products. We usually use it along with a word that is quantifying something we're assessing. So do we have, so we're considering a project. And there's productivity, price, and resources. You can say, well, resource-wise, it's fine. Price-wise, it's not good. It's too expensive. And productivity-wise, it will be helpful. So in términos de, it's like saying in terms of. So in terms of basically can be used to say the same thing, but the structure is totally different. So in terms of time, it's a good option. Time-wise, it's a good option. Those basically mean the same thing. So in terms of tennis skills, Rafa Nadal is much better than me. When it comes to tennis, Rafa Nadal is better than me. When it comes to lifting weights, he's not as good as Arnold Schwarzenegger was, let's say. weightlifting-wise, Arnold was very good. En términos de. Also, so when it, in terms of, or when it comes to, a la hora de, cuando se trata de, these basically mean the same thing. In terms of, or when it comes to. When it comes to price, it's a good offer. In terms of price, it's a good offer. Price-wise, it's a good offer. Okay, they're essentially the same. The feeling is a little bit different, but we're kind of splitting hairs there. But thank you, Jaime. Good question. I like that one. In the Facebook group, English with Kyle. Micah says, hi, Kyle. I have a question. I don't know how to use the verb commute when I want to say, I go to my job every day by car. How could I say that with a verb to commute? Well, you could say, I commute to work. So to commute means to travel for the purpose of typically employment. I guess you could commute to school, class, I suppose. Like if you're going to university, you could say, well, I have to commute to university, I suppose. But it's usually, I would say, almost always used when we're talking about driving or traveling to go to work, which is why we have in some cities commuter trains. So a commuter train is a train that is designed for people who work in a certain area, like the Metro North in New York City is a commuter train that goes up north of the city up to, you know, New Rochelle and all these places and goes up towards upstate New York. Up into Connecticut. A commuter train. It's for people who are commuting to work. People who are traveling for work purposes. They get up every day and then maybe they have to commute down into Manhattan. They work in Manhattan, but they live New Haven or, well, I don't know. They live somewhere else, an hour away by train. They get on the train and they have to commute. So to commute is essentially to travel for work, a regular daily, not like a business trip one time, but this is something where you travel every day because you live in one place and you work in another. So that trip, ese viaje, would be called your commute. So the verb to commute and the noun a commute. Okay? So good question, Micah. And let me see how much time we have. We have only a couple of minutes. So why don't we quickly, well, actually, I want to give out the answer. I have to give out the answers to today's Twitter translation. People are saying, oh my gosh. Que yo sepa, nada ha cambiado. Now, que yo sepa, and most people are getting this right, as far as I know. As far as I know, nada ha cambiado. Nothing has changed. As far as I know. So has something changed? I don't think so. But I'm not making the promise. I'm just saying, as far as I know, que yo sepa. We say, as far as I know. Que yo sepa, nada ha cambiado. As far as I know, nothing has changed. So congratulations to everyone who got that one right. As far as I know, nothing has changed. Okay. Now, we're almost out of time, but I want to take the opportunity to remind people one more time that we have our Vaughn Radio Trivia Night coming up next Wednesday, the 1st of February, going on at Real Madrid, Calle Amaniel 23. I hope to see you there. It's going to be presented by the one and only Richard Vaughn. And this restaurant has great food, great burgers. They do the pulled pork, cerdo mechado, which they do on a slow a fuego lento. They cook it in-house over 6 hours. It's delicious. I recommend that. They have a great kitchen, great food, some creative menu items, a great selection of beers. It's a great place. It's called Real Madrid, Calle Amaniel 23 in Madrid. Very central in the Conde Duque area. And we'll be there celebrating our Vaughn Radio Trivia Night presented by Richard Vaughn. I know Alberto Alonso is going to be there. Myself, Fitz, Rob Grams, Andrea, Guy Williams, many of the hosts. So we would love to meet you. So come say hello. We would love to meet you there and join us as we have a fun evening and a trivia activity in English. Practice your English and test your trivia skills with us. It's a lot of fun and nothing to be worried about. People say, oh, I don't know if my English is good enough or I don't know if I can answer his questions. There's no pressure. We're on teams. It's just a lot of fun. It's muy, muy divertido. And I know if you come, everybody seems to enjoy it and go back. Our groups are always growing because we have such a good time. It's muy divertido for all ages. We have, last time we had, I think an 8-year-old girl. And we've had people from 8 to 88. We've had all ages. And I'm sure we'll have all ages again next Wednesday. That is the 1st of February. Real Madrid, Kai Amaniel 23 for our trivia night. Hope to see you there. We're out of time. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Estás escuchando Vaughan Radio.
¿Cómo tú ves tanta pasión en lo que hacen, tanta dedicación? Porque luego tienes a lo largo del máster, tienes feedbacks con ellos. Y ellos te dicen exactamente cuáles son tus puntos débiles, cuáles son tus fortalezas, cuáles son tus weaknesses, debilidades, ¿no? ¿Sabes? Y cuando ves a alguien que hace con tanta pasión algo, no te viene tan natural decepcionarle. Porque si tú ves a alguien que da el 100%, a mí por lo menos no me viene como decepcionarte así. Es una cuestión de respeto que luego se desarrolla y se ve.